Now broadcasting from the Next Gen Conservative Studio in sunny South Florida, bringing you the latest in politics, current events, and pop culture. This is the Whitfield Report with Sam Whitfield.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Whitfield Report. I am your host, Sam Whitfield, and it has been a long time, ladies and gentlemen, since I've done a Monday solo show for you all. It's been a long time since I've done a Monday show, in fact, but I figured there are a few things that I wanted to cover with you guys. Nothing super, super important, but I still think that some of these topics should be brought up at the very least, even tangentially. The first topic, of which being the Oscars. The longtime audience members of this podcast will know this about me. I'm a film buff, and it's pretty, you know, obvious to anyone who's been culture. I took basically every major, film writing class when I was in college and whatnot. I've written scripts, screenplays, and whatnot. Some of which, all that is to say, ladies and gentlemen, but like many other movie buffs who love film, we don't always like the Academy Awards themselves and all the celebrity ego boost. So, to some people out there, it might seem a little, you know, movies, but that I don't watch the Academy, and actually that's not very uncommon. Lots of other film buffs I know actually don't watch the Academy Awards anymore. It's really, I mean, I suppose though, it's always been a celebrity ego boost from the start, if we're being honest. But these days, and by these days, I mean like the past 15 years, it seems to be more and more of a celebrity actor, director ego boost. And let's, promote whatever current trendy left-wing political topic that we can. It seems to be more about that, ladies and gentlemen, and less about the celebration of film and motion pictures themselves. So, all that is to say, I did not watch the Academy Awards last night because I just didn't see any point in, doing so, to be quite honest. They're also like 3 hours long. And really, like, at the end of the day, most people, mainly care about Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, although I guess in this day and age of, woke Hollywood, there's no need to differentiate between actor and actress anymore. So they've done away with that, it seems like. So, it's Best Supporting Actor and then Best Picture mostly, and then maybe Best Film Score is what gets a lot of recognition. And really, I didn't pay too much attention to any of the other categories other than the Oppenheimer won Best Picture, which, to be honest, is, I'm not surprised, and I like I love Oppenheimer. That was one of the better movies that I saw in 2023. And, you know, I do think it is, in a way, an instant classic. Is it Christopher Nolan's best film? Well, I think, you know, I think time will tell. I certainly think it is one of, I think it is, but is it his best bar none? Like some people are saying, I don't know. I think Interstellar is up there. And then I think, you know, The Dark Knight is up there too. You know, for contenders as, you know, Christopher Nolan's best film. But I wouldn't say that Oppenheimer is his best film, bar none. I think that'll be something that the history books judge more so, you know, probably long after I'm gone. But, you know, other than Christopher Nolan and, you know, Oppenheimer winning Best Picture and Oppenheimer, I really didn't pay too much attention to the Oscars that much, if at all. So, you know, I did find it pretty funny when, you know, this morning I saw clips on, you know, X and Instagram of people, you know, they were clipping the most outrageous, you know, far left wing anti-Trump, you know, run-of-the-mill talking points that you can get at. And, you know, that's the other thing is like, conservatives love to, you know, get on the bandwagon of how like far left wing the Oscar, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, hates half the country and whatnot. And they act like it's some new revelation, but like Jimmy Kimmel, for one, has always been, you know, far left. He's also, he's been, you know, on the Trump derangement syndrome scale, high TDS. And so of course he was going to, you know, take the opportunity to make, you know, to make some jokes about Trump last. And of course Hollywood and the elites at the Oscars were going to join in with him about that, because, you know, why not? They're all Hollywood elitists. They all hate, you know, Trump. Most of them who are, you know, big enough names to be in that room. You know, you do have some exceptions like Clint Eastwood and John Voight, you know, maybe who, you know, they're conservative, but they're, you know, they've been around in the industry for so long, and obviously they're icons, that they can kind of get away with, you know, being the conservatives in the room, so to speak. But also, I mean, they're both old, too. So, you know, it's a different era. You know, you can't be, you really can't be openly conservative in Hollywood and be an A-lister these days, with maybe the exception of Chris Pratt. But like, I don't see Chris Pratt getting an Oscar, you know, in the next few years. I could be wrong. Maybe someday, but I don't see that, you know, his movies generally aren't like Oscar nominated ones. So all of that is to say that like between all the, you know, between the fact that like I really only saw Oppenheimer, that was like the only film I saw that got nominated. And I am glad that it won Best Picture so that I can finally say that I, you know, that I saw the best picture of the year, and I liked it. That was like the one, you know, I guess good thing out of this year's Oscars is like I actually knew one of the titles that got nominated and had seen it. But, you know, in general, I don't see a reason to really pay attention to these award shows or really, you know, any of them, to be honest. I just don't care about celebrity culture that much. And really, at the end of the day, that's what these award shows generally are. It's just a giant celebrity circle jerk. It's less about the craft, you know, filmmaking, music making, whatever, and more about celebrities and actors and directors all, you know, using their platform to promote whatever political agenda they're pushing. That's what these award shows have turned into. It might not be how they started, but it certainly has turned into that for sure. So I didn't pay attention to the Oscars. I also, though, did not pay attention to President Biden's State of the Union speech. And why would I say the same stuff, you know, through his teeth? At least that's when he's coherent enough to, you know, to speak. Like, you kind of know when he's a little coherent, because when he's really comes off as, you know, angry and upset. And so, you know, basically from what I saw from clips, the general gist of what he was saying in the State of the Union is, I have a great economy, which we all know is bullshit, and the Republicans are evil. So even as a political guy, I have to, you know, wonder, like, why would I tune in for that? Like, I already know it's Biden. I know it's already going to be a shit show. So why would I or any conservative, like, worth their salt, like, tune into it? Yeah, I know it's, you know, the president. I know it's the State of the Union. But, and, you know, some people would say, well, Sam, you should cover it since you're a political guy. And, you know, the State of the Union is newsworthy. It's politics. But is it newsworthy anymore, folks? I mean, I don't feel that it is. Otherwise, like, you know, and besides, like, I think Tucker did a live reaction, and so did Steven Crowder. I think I tuned into his briefly, and just for like the 5 minutes I saw, you know, it was pretty much what I thought. It was Biden, like, you know, just yelling at the top of his lungs incoherently. And, you know, just being a crabby old guy. I will say one thing if I did make one observation about the State of the Union from what I saw, and again, I only saw about 5 minutes, I got the idea that Biden was pretty much like this the entire speech. He was just angry and, you know, kind of rambling. So nothing new. But it did occur to me that unless they somehow get rid of him, and the Democrats, and they are absolutely trying to get rid of him. But they have themselves in a real kerfuffle, because they ran Biden in 2020, you know, just to get Trump out, right? Biden has, so really, like, who else do they have? Well, they don't, well, the only one they have really is Gavin Newsom, the left, you know, basically the commie governor out in California. But, you know, even he is facing backlash now, because California has had a homeless problem for, you know, years now. He basically said that they don't have the money to, you know, take care of their homeless problem. And yet he, you know, he magically found the money to clean up the homeless problem in San Francisco when, you know, the leader of China came to visit San Francisco. And like, so they don't really have, you know, they don't really have Newsom. He's kind of hung himself. People keep saying that like Michelle is going to run. I don't see it. Mainly because, like, if it were for real, we would be hearing about it by now. And people are saying that, oh, well, she's going to surprise people at the DNC in August. Well, she has to file. That's the only way she, you know, gets nominated. And at that late in the game, I'm not so sure people would. And I think Biden is too stubborn to step down willingly. Say what you will about him. He's crazy. He's angry. You know, and he's nuts. But damn, is that man stubborn. He wants the title of, you know, being president of the United States, even if he's not the one leading the country himself. And I do think he is coherent enough to know that that's the case too. He might not be super coherent these days, but I do believe he is coherent enough to know that, like, he is president of the United States. He enjoys the position. Mainly because he doesn't have to do much. Like, you know, his handlers in the deep state basically run everything for him at this point. So he doesn't have to do much. And, you know, damn anyone else who wants to come along and do the job. In his mind, he earned it. You know, he ran for president, like, on the Democrat ticket a couple times in the 80s and 90s and, like, never got, like, very far at all, even in, like, the primaries. He becomes Obama's VP in 2008. His profile becomes president of the United States because the Dems stole the election in 2020. So he basically just ascended to the presidency without even having to campaign. So, you know, why would he not just let his handlers do that again? In his mind, they can just keep on running the country. It'll be great. He loves the title. That is Biden's mindset, ladies and gentlemen. So, like, all this thing of, well, they're going to get him they're going to make him step down for health reasons. He'll agree to it. I doubt he would willingly. You know, he is being investigated. And so, you know, the only two ways I see him, like, willingly stepping down is A, if he, like, passes in his sleep or passes of old age or something, or if they, like, legally blackmail him, basically. That's, like, the only way I see Biden stepping down. You know, and one of them involves him dying. So, you know, the Dems are stuck with him. And they hate it because they got themselves into this kerfuffle. And now Trump's back and he's leading and, you know, he's going to be the nominee for the Republicans. Like, their little bet to, you know, derail Trump with Nikki Haley, that has fallen flat on its face. That's not going anywhere. So they're stuck with Biden and they're stuck with his stubbornness. They're stuck with his anger. And so I suppose, like, if I have to look at the, you know, State of the Union on a somewhat positive light, you know, again, only seen clips of, you know, the speech and whatnot, I would say that Biden actually, you know, he didn't do well, but, you know, Trump, I would say that Trump did well at Biden's State of the Union because, you know, all Biden had to do was talk and more people are like, man, I miss Trump. Even the normies at this point who, you know, the way he says things, but man, everyone remembers, you know, when there were good jobs in Trump's economy, how there were no wars going on, you know, and how the cost of gas and the cost of living was actually affordable. I think enough time has passed and things have gotten bad enough that people are like, you know what, I could put up with a couple of mean tweets if it meant, you know, not having to deal with this crazy, angry old guy. You know, and I got all that just from watching a 5-minute clip of the State of the Union. So, like, why would I need to watch the whole thing? It's, you know, I just don't see the point of it. You know, like, I guess the whole point being is, like, you know, like, when it comes to the Oscars and when it comes to the State of the Union, like, there are lots of political commentators and cultural commentators who will comment on them and make videos on them and podcasts on them ad nauseum because that's what you do. And granted, like, I could have done that. I could have, you know, done a live stream where Max and I watched the State of the Union and we could have commented on it. But, you know, I just don't see the point. I've been talking about politics for years. You guys all know my position on Biden. So, you know, watching the State of the Union speech kind of seemed redundant. Same with the Oscars. So, you know, that about covers those two topics. There is, and that is this whole, or no, Sweet Baby Inc. Story that's been going on because a couple people, you know, they seem to think that this is Gamergate 2, you know, or something, and that this is going to be 2016 all over again. And I'm a little skeptical of this, but for those of you in the audience who are wondering what in the hell I'm talking about, you know, you're asking Sam, what is Sweet Baby Inc.? And to be honest, I hadn't heard of Sweet Baby Inc. like myself either until about like 4 or 5 days ago. But let me try and explain what they are to you in the best way I can. Sweet Baby Inc. is basically a consult, basically ensure that like there's enough diversity, quote unquote, and inclusion in video games now. So basically, like in plain English, it's basically an expensive consulting firm, you know, to push all the woke shit that's been going on in gaming. And I'm sure there are more than one I'm sure there's like more than one company that does this. Sweet Baby Inc. is just like the most notable one right now. The reason being is because the reason that why you've been seeing them mentioned on like Twitter and Instagram so much lately in the gaming space is because, you know, they've been working with these studios to push all of this diversity and, you know, woke, quote unquote, inclusion. Nonsense. And so, you know, in all of the games that they've worked on, like, have gotten mediocre scores at best, and the gaming fans don't necessarily like these. These are games like, you know, as much as I hate to say it, Spider-Man 2 for the PS5, which bombed. Alan Wake 2, which wasn't horrible, but it wasn't as great as the first one, that's for sure. I did finally get a chance to play it, and yeah, it wasn't great. Those are just two games off the top of my push this diversity. And so there was a guy on Twitter, a guy on Steam, basically, who got the idea to basically create a list of all the games that this company was involved in, you know, the production of, so that consumers can be aware before they buy, you know, the title and spend their money. Because with video games costing, you know, like $40 minimum, and then like $70 as like the usual starting price, you know, if you're going to buy a game, you want to make sure it's actually good and not like not mediocre. And Sweet Baby Inc., well, at best, their games that they've been involved with are mediocre, and most of them are terrible. So this guy wanted to make a list basically to alert consumers that Sweet Baby Inc. was involved with these companies so that, you know, consumers can make a better choice. Well, he made this, you know, list like on Steam, and now basically like trying to pressure Steam to shut down his account and to get him banned from Steam. Which means that essentially, like, any games that you've bought from Steam, if you no longer have your account, like, you can no longer access those games. Same with, like, PlayStation and Xbox. If for some reason, like, you know, you either get banned from, like, PlayStation or Xbox, or, you know, your PlayStation account gets shut down, like, you know, those games are no longer accessible in any of the digital stores. So, you know, they're basically trying to prevent a guy from playing games, Sweet Baby Inc. is, because he published a list that they don't like because it exposes them and, you know, all of their shenanigans and treachery. Now, to be fair, like, I'm a little mixed on this because, on the one hand, like, there are a lot of people online who are saying that, oh, well, this is going to be bigger than Gamergate, and it's going to, you know, it's going to kill woke, you know, it's going to land a death knell to the woke mindset in Hollywood, you know, in the gaming industry, and whatnot, and things are going to get so much better for gamers as a result of this being exposed. The problem with that, folks, is that that's what the original Gamergate was supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen. The original Gamergate back in 2014 essentially revealed how left-wing game journalists and left-wing activists basically infiltrated the, you know, the triple game sphere and basically took over these gaming development companies to basically propagandize, you know, and push their narrative. And Gamergate was supposedly, you know, a big expose on, you know, how this stuff was happening, and it was supposed to put an end to, you know, the woke politics. But if anything, like, since Gamergate happened, the AAA game space has just gotten more woke. They you know, they push products that like nobody really wants to play anymore in the AAA game space, but they don't seem to be running out of money. So I guess my point being is like, if Gamergate, which had the chance to kill, you know, the woke stuff, if that didn't succeed, then why would, you know, the Sweet Baby Inc. expose? Like, yeah, we know that Sweet Baby Inc. is full of, like, DEI hires. We know that. My question is anything going to change about this? Like, is the gaming industry actually going to, you know, change for the better as a result of all this? Because so far, there's a lot of, you know, talking like what Sweet Baby Inc. is and how woke the gaming industry is. And it's all the same stuff we've heard before. So I just don't see like what the big, you know, why this is so groundbreaking. I might be missing something. And if I am, ladies and gentlemen, like, please, by all means, tell me, you know, send me a message on Twitter or, you know, whatever. And, you know, explain to me why this is significant, I guess. That's the question I have, because I just don't see it, ladies and gentlemen. I simply don't. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, time will tell, I guess. So, anyway, that's about all I have for today. I realize that it's not the normal, you know, 3-hour show that we usually have, you know, on Wednesday nights with Max and, you know, Morpheus. But I did want to have a show and, you know, just address some of the stuff that I haven't been watching. And real quick, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is the day when you can purchase my new book, The Fourth Estate, which officially goes on sale at midnight on Tuesday. So tomorrow, and I'm very excited for y'all to read this. Wednesday, we will be having like a launch party celebration, and I'm sure that we might be able to get some people in the author space to join us for this, and I would be honored if anyone could join us. I'm really excited for you to, you know, read this. It's been a long time coming, and I think you guys are going to enjoy this. You know, pick up your copy of The Fourth Estate tomorrow. We'll see you on Wednesday to celebrate. And until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. God bless. God save this great nation. And God, freedom, legacy, in that order. I'll see you on the next episode of The Whitfield Report, which will be on Wednesday for the live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern. And until then, folks, take care.
Thanks for listening to The Whitfield Report on the NGC Network. Please visit Sam's website at www.thesamwhitfield.com and support Sam on Patreon at patreon.com/Whitfield Report. Until next time, God bless. God save this great nation, and God, freedom, legacy, in that order.